When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golden Accountancy. That would have been funny if I'd forgot who the lovely people that sponsor my podcast were, wouldn't it? We are golding.com. How are you? I'm good. I'm just sat here waiting to record a podcast, which I was late for because today's just been a bit manic, and she's in Vegas, the woman. And I'm just sitting here waiting for her, and then I've realised that the clock's changed, didn't they? So she's obviously thinking it's going to be in an hour rather than now because the clocks didn't change in Vegas. Oh, so I'm another reason why I hate the bloody clocks changing. I don't know if you have children, but how difficult is it explaining to children who don't understand time, really? Even when they do understand time, your body clock's just out. It screws you for the whole week, doesn't it? I really wish that they'd stop with this shit now and just leave the clocks alone. Sorry, farmers, but... oh, anyway, sorry for moaning. This is part two of my chat with the hilarious Stuart Whiffin. Part one was last week where he was talking about his amazing trip to the Ukraine to give aid. And this second part is a bit more about his youth spent in bands. Well, one main band. How he was managed by Ricky Gervais, randomly. And, mind you, he doesn't really talk about that. I wanted him to talk about that, but he kind of glazed over it a bit. And, yeah, just other exciting things, really. But I hope you enjoy it. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, then I've got loads of other episodes. Please check them out. I also guested on the Hardcore Listing podcast, which is out. Top five things about Basildon. If any of you know Brian Bellow, please get in touch with me and tell me how to get hold of him, because I would love to chat to him on the podcast. But yeah, enjoy this, and I'll see you in a bit.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Work.
So, you mentioned about being in bands.
Yes.
Tell us about, like you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you are my inspiration. Did you always want to be in a band? Ever since you were, you did, even though you couldn't sing.
Yep. Yeah, or play. Like, no, you could laugh. That ain't even a dig. I'd normally say it before you. I remember going to see my careers officer at school, and he was like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, I quite want to be in a band. And like, literally, that was like laughed out the door. Like, you know, and it was like, "Oh, do you play anything?" And I'm like, "Nah." and it was like, he went, "Well, look, is there anything else if you can't do that that interests you?" And I said, "Stuntman."
How old were you?
But I then went and got a trade. I become a mechanic.
Oh, did
you? Yeah. So bizarrely, obviously that was the butt of a lot of jokes in that van going to the Ukraine. The fact that there are two petrolheads in there and me, but I'm actually the qualified mechanic. I couldn't change a fucking dust cap, man. Fucking hell. Like, I know nothing about cars. It was really weird. Like, everybody in my mechanics class, like, lunchtimes would just go at Thurrock College and would be in the car park, like revving their cars and stuff like that. I had a Ford Escort Estate that my mate Nick had painted Cat in the Hat on the bonnet. Like, and I think I had dreadlocks at that point. And it was like, I did not fit in. Like, but the mechanics thing was opposite the art block. So I got to see the girls going that were doing art that were way more interesting for me than talking about carburetors and stuff like that. And it was just like, and that's when I kind of, like, my best mate is a one-man band comedy thing called Cunt and the Gang. And as I mentioned at the beginning, like, we've been mates since we were five. And we've written these.
When did you start doing that? Was that after your band?
Yeah. So we set up a band called Serious Problem, me and Cunt, when we was 11. And so we recorded little demos and stuff like that with, like, little, like, pre-built-in Casio themes or, like, instrumental B-sides. We'd just press play and record on a cassette player and just sing little songs over it. And it's really weird because, like, still got them. And, like, my voice hadn't broke. And so I've got this, like, high-pitched little voice. I'm this chubby little kid with this, like, high-pitched voice. And it's really weird. And then, like, you know, fast forward a couple of years and our voices are broke and we got to college. And it was like, right. And I was just, like, a classic in-betweener at school. I wasn't a popular kid. I weren't super nerdy, but I was just, you know, I wasn't a particularly confident kid. But when I got to college, as I mentioned earlier, talking about lockdown, I found my tribe.
Yeah.
And I think, like, at that point, it was like, I've got my tribe now. And that changed everything. And I then got confident. I don't think I'd even kissed a girl by the time I was 18.
Really?
Yeah. I was nearly as bad as Scroobius Pip.
Oh, that's why you got on.
Like,
so much in common.
And then I met Pip and we made out at a cinema. And I just didn't have confidence.
That,
like, with girls.
That surprises me, because I would have imagined that you would have been really cocky.
No, not at all.
Wow.
Not at all. Like, when I got to college and I got in bands and I hit 18, I lost a lot of weight. And that gave me confidence. And I'd started a little club night in Basildon at a place called the Rand Acre, this, like, little youth hall. And I started my own little night. And then all of a sudden, I was a singer and a DJ. And it... Because I could never have gone up to a girl and said, "Hello, can I buy you a drink?" or "Hello, can I have your number?" or anything like that. I could never have done that. And all of a sudden, I was having conversations with girls because of, like, the fact that I was moving in circles where there was girls. I was in clubs, I was in venues, and I was, you know, starting to kind of become a more, I won't say popular, but like my range of friends got wider at college. I got in with them girls from the art block. I got in with all the indie kids and the grungers, because it was 1991, 92, and that scene was huge, and I was running the little club night for it. And so it all just become something mad and lovely, and I got to meet girls and start performing in bands and DJing, and it just and I've always had like stupid amounts of energy and drive for things I want to do, like, and I've always tried to ensure that going to work's a laugh, like, and it's not like, and I, don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of jobs where I've worked on building sites and like, and there's nothing wrong with any of that, some people like that, but it weren't for me, and I've done it for a long time, and I don't like working for other people, and certainly in them environments, like, it's really weird, but I sometimes see people like, and then my boss shouted at me, and I'm like, shouted at you? Like, I'm just like, who's got the right to shout at someone? Like, and I can't comprehend things like that, and I'm just like, tell him to fuck off and walk out. Like, but that's easier said than done, and unfortunately there's a lot of people stuck in jobs that they don't want to be in because they need to pay the bills. And but yeah, and I've done that on and off for years, but I've always tried to kind of have two jobs and always like do the job that I don't like, but it helps me to build up the job that I do like and the one I want to really pursue. And so, and that's always been in a relatively creative space. That's either been in music and obviously now podcasting and the magazine and yeah, and former guest of your show, Antonia Price. I owe it all to her.
Really?
Yeah. Like, she literally transformed my life.
Really?
Her and her husband, Justin, like, I was working on a building site. I was a window fitter on a building site, and I was dreadfully unhappy. And I knew Justin because we were in bands together.
Was he in Serious Problem?
No. But he was in a band called Auntie Mabel that were a similar bunch of fucking idiots doing exactly the same stupid shit as us, but in Basildon.
Okay.
And so we got to know each other, and it was like, know that scene in Shaun of the Dead when the same amount of characters walk past the same characters from like a parallel universe? It was like that, and that was them, and like, and it was like, oh, yous are like us, yous are fucking idiots, brilliant, let's hang out. So that happened, and I'd had, I think Hallie was born at that point, and I tried to kind of scale back doing the clubs because I thought I needed to get a proper job and not be a club promoter anymore, and I went back to just DJing one night a week and got a proper job, like, you know, as a wind fitter, and it was fucking horrible. It didn't help that I'm scared of heights, and like the joy when I turn up, and terrified of heights, like, up a ladder, every day was fucking terrifying. If I pulled up at a job and it was a bungalow, I could have literally ejaculated. Like, it was unbelievable levels of joy, Amy, if
how
it was a bungalow.
But I completely get where you're coming from, because I'm terrified of heights. I don't mind being up high in buildings, but I can't climb ladders. So how
I'm that. I'm exactly that.
How did you do that?
I just had to. Like, I just had to do it. And like, and to this day,
shaking?
All the time, every day.
Oh,
like,
my God.
But it weren't just holding up the ladder. I had to put a window in, and then I had to, with a mastic gun, use both hands to mastic it in.
Oh, my God.
So it was fucking terrifying. But don't get me wrong, everyone else would just run up them ladders like it was just running up a set of stairs. And it's like, oh, I'm just not that sort of bloke. I'm not a man's man like that. But, yeah, and it was weird because lunchtimes, everyone would be talking about, I don't know, football and tits. And I'm like, does anyone like the Smiths? And it was just like...
With your eyeliner.
Oh, dear. But, and so, Antonia, I mentioned that I had an idea to set up like a kind of marketing company, like for events and for tattooed, like a tattooed model agency.
Yeah.
Like, that was going to be called the Trash Society. And I just had this idea, and I went and for some reason I went round Justin's, and Antonio was brought up in the same town as me. We both grew up in Tilbury, and it's a very poor area. And her story, as I'm sure she spoke about on your podcast, is fucking miraculous, and like inspiring. And I literally fucking love her like my sister. I adore them two people. And he's a fucking idiot. He's one of the biggest fucking idiots on the planet. But I love him to fucking bits. And they've had my back from day one. And she went, here's £20,000. Like, come to our office, quit your job, and come and work in our office. We'll have a lot of fun, and we'll make this business work. And in the first year, I paid her back that £20,000, and we had the best time for about 10 years. And I cut them in on my events as my events started to grow, the ones I was doing in London and that. And every day going in that office with them was just like, it was just a holiday. Every day was just like, you just laugh constantly. And just watching her telling him off all the time, really, really entertaining. I will randomly thank them two or three times a year for changing my life. And don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of lovely, lovely people like Scroobius Pip that I owe a hell of a lot to, because I wouldn't have a magazine as my big part of my income now.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have 35 podcasts if it weren't for Scroobius Pip. And every single thing I do in with stuff like that, he's the first person to go, oh, I'll come on. And he's like, and he's done, you know, he does it for everyone on the network. Obviously, he's done the same for you. And, you know, I don't need to tell you what a nice guy he is. You know better than any of us. And obviously I've had a support network of an encouraging family that have had to have had to go to engagements, social engagements without me a lot growing up. You know, I've missed a lot of like important things with my kids. Not your parents' evenings and all the things that, you know, you have to, but lots of weekend things I had to go to work.
Yeah.
And it's nice now as they're older to be able to, you know, hopefully and see what dad does and why dad does what he does.
Yeah.
And obviously the reason that you've got a home and food is because, you know, I have to go to work, and I hope that work ethic, you know, does find its way, you know, to them as well. And that was one of the things that I really wanted from that Ukraine trip, was at some point for them to go, if something should ever happen like what's happening now, you know, God, I hope it doesn't, but them to be able to go, oh, we could do something. Remember when Dad just done that? And I hope that they kind of just go, oh, look, you can do shit if you want. Like, you can start something and just have a go at it. And if it don't go well, it don't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's always like, give it your best shot. And if it don't, this sounds like I'm doing some kind of motivational fucking talk here. It's not meant to come across like that. But, like, people sometimes say to me, oh, are you gutted that your band never made it? And I'm like, no, not at all. And, like, I know loads of people that are, you know, probably too old to be thinking that it's all going to happen in music. But it, I think I gave it my best shot and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I can put that to bed because I've done the best I could.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I park that up now, and like, and then what can I do now that, you know, might be fun? And so, yeah.
How far did you get? You got signed and stuff though, did you?
Not with, Serious Problem was the one that somehow was managed by Gervais, which was bizarre. Yes.
Like, how did that happen?
He just come to see us and thought we were funny because we was a joke band.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because I would never do a gig with that band again now because that humour has dated badly.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff in there that, you know, is a little bit misogynistic and stuff like that. That, as I said, I wrote some of this stuff in the mid 80s when I was 11. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I wrote a load of songs that were serious songs, and that was the band that got the record deal, and then we toured for a fair few years. And but yeah, but never to you know. But do you know what? When I set it up, Aim, I went, all I want to do, right, is I want to be on the radio once, I want to be on the telly once, and I want to be able to get in a van and go on a little tour.
Yeah.
And like, and we've done that for 3 years, and we got on this kids' TV show that I've never seen, and done a song, and we got Record of the Week on XFM. By Bob Geldof, bizarrely. and it was like, I just wanted that. Have you seen that Tom Hanks film, That Thing You Do, about the band?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Like, that moment when they hear their song on the radio and they're all just jumping around. That's the best feeling you can ever have.
Yeah,
And I remember, like, ringing up my then girlfriend and, like, my mum and, my family just going, put the radio on, I'm on the radio, I'm on the radio, I'm on the radio. And like, and it was the best feeling ever. And I think like, we just weren't that good. We was like, the last gig we played with a band, and I remember it was at the Bull and Gate in Kentish Town, and we were sitting at the back, and we was drinking like, at the time Threshers were doing 2 bottles of wine for a fiver, so we was drinking 2 bottles of warm white wine before we went on, and there was this band from Bristol. That we're doing vocal exercises. And I remember just thinking, fucking squares. and then they went on stage. And we'd been touring for like about 3 years. And I remember thinking we were so tight. This band just blew the fucking roof off and just embarrassed us. And it was like, and I was like, right, that's it now. Like, we're just not that good.
Yeah.
And like, so let's wrap that up. And, you know, we've done all the things we wanted to do. And then, yeah, and then I was like, right. And then I got offered the job running the Brush. So
yeah, so how did that come? Just because you were already doing so many events?
Yeah, well, I've worked. I've been a DJ at the Brush since I was like 19.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I've been there like over 30 years. And it's like, and then, yeah, I've just become a manager, put a shirt and tie on and run it for quite a long time until Hallie was born.
Yeah.
And then went back to DJing it, and then ended up doing stuff with XFM, and then bringing XFM back to the Toothbrush, and then taking it on as a promoter again. And
yeah.
That brings me up to last Friday, and I'll be there this Friday.
Yeah.
So, feeling elderly on the front door. It is weird, eh? I'm DJing sometimes, and I don't DJ there too much anymore. And, like, I don't know if I've told you this, but it was about a year and a half ago, this girl come up, she must have been about 20, she was just like, are you Stu Whiffin? And I was like, yes. And I just thought, still got it. And she went, oh, you went to school with my mum? She said to say hello. You think, fuck's sake. Yeah, tell her I said hello, mate. Yeah, cheers. Oh, fucking hell. Then I think I put on some really fucking cool new record to try and make myself feel damn with the kids. So tragic, Amy. Oh, fuck it. Yeah, I love Idols. Yeah, they're one of my favourite bands. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to stay up to date with me? Because I know, obviously, you love music. But I know that, obviously, you love the music of your youth, like I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I do, I still love music, but I listen to Six Music, and that's all I listen to. So I have absolutely no idea about anything that's popular. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that they don't
play. I still listen to lots of new music. And Six is really good for new music, though.
It is. Like, it's very good, but it's not good for commercial new music.
I suppose so, but they're still going to be playing...
I mean, they do play some commercial stuff, like Idols and whatever, you know. But it's just like, my kids now will come home singing songs, and I haven't got a clue what they are.
Yeah, but you would have walked in singing songs, and like your parents wouldn't have known what they are.
But
and
if they did, you'd be...
We'll have a chat about this when we finish recording, Amy.
My mum used to sing Nirvana because I used to play it so fucking loud.
Yeah.
And she used to sing it in her opera voice. Was a one that likes all the pretty songs. Honestly.
Oh, but, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You shouldn't know what music your kids are listening to. You know, it should be that's their punk, isn't it? That's their moment. You know, if mum and dad like it, it's not fucking cool. It's like, you know, I remember like, not that they'd ever say it, but like, Christ, the state I would have looked like. You know, they never. I'm pulling up. My dad loves cars, and I pulled up in that fucking escort with cat in the out on the bonnet. He must have just thought. But never once did they ever say, fucking hell, sort it out. Like, they just let me do what made me happy. And yes, that's what I think is the best thing to do about
it.
I had this kind of discussion when the kids were doing exams, and it felt like the most important thing in their world. And it was the most important thing in their world at that time. But the fact that it was upsetting them, the pressure of it, obviously it's during lockdown as well, and I was just like, and every part of me just wanted to go, don't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It don't fucking matter. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. Like, don't let... And it's weird, because I know that there's a lot to be gained from, you know, academia and being able to go to university and things like that. But if you don't want to go to university, don't sweat it as much. Yeah, if you've got ideas and a work ethic and a bit of drive, do whatever you want. Don't get me started on the kind of how schools operate, because I'm not a fan. I've just been lucky, ain't that? Like, I've stumbled into places of work that encourage that kind of mindset of just do what you want and wear what you want and be happy and that's at the very essence of the Pink Toothbrush, which is my second home.
And Pod Bible.
Mm.
How did you?
It's good.
It's good.
I don't know. That's all credit to Adam, because he makes it look great. But that was just an idea that I wanted to try and get more listeners. And we've all had the conversations about how do we get more listeners on our podcasts. Yeah. And when it was the bands, it would have been the NME, the Melody Maker, or something like that. And there wasn't one for podcasts. So I messaged Pip. I said, look, I think I'm going to start a little magazine about podcasts. And Pip just went, yeah, well, I'll have some of that. And I was like, oh, right, great. And I was like, I don't know how to design it. And Adam, who was doing the artwork for a lot of the Distraction Pieces podcast, we reached out to, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, look, I don't know if this is going to make any money, but like, let's have a go. But if you're going to try and get companies to invest in your business from the podcast industry, it really helps when Scroobius Pip knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Like... Because if I'm like, all right, I've got 50 million podcasts, like, fuck off, mate, not you again. But when Pip knocks on the door, they're like, oh, hello, Podfather, come in. And like, and so quite quickly we got backing from like Spotify and Acast, and within 3 months we had a magazine on the streets, which was crazy. And then that's grown over the end of the first year. We cut a deal with the Sunday Times and bringing it right up to now, we now do 65,000 copies inside the Sunday Times. And we've just started a new relationship with Apple, which is pretty amazing to work with them, because they're quite famously Apple, work with Apple. And
Can you tell me what that is or not yet?
They're just like a kind of, I guess you call them a partner of sorts.
That's amazing.
But yeah, and obviously Acast from day one have been a partner, and we've worked with BBC and
just
Audible.
Want to put this out partner. There? When I'm 50, so that's 6 years, I want to be on a yacht. Okay.
Okay.
It hasn't got to be my yacht, but I prefer it'll be someone that I know's yacht.
Yeah.
Somewhere hot as well, and it's January, my birthday, so just putting that out there.
Do you know what, Aim? I'd love to have... I wouldn't have a yacht. I'd buy a camper van if I had any money. Like, always wanted to get like a camper van, but they're so expensive. But it's like, it's anything, Aim. It's like, I don't think I'm ever going to be rich. I think like 10 years ago, I thought I was going to be like rich. But
even when I...
No, because do you know what? Like, when I've had things happen in my personal life that has jarred me, like stopped me in my tracks, you realise then that money can't do anything. Like, when it comes to the important things, then people in Ukraine, some of them might have under £1,000 in their bank account,
they're still
in a strange country now, have a small bag, and it's like, it's fucking terrifying. And money don't make you happy. I've never been wealthy, but
money just makes you want more money.
Definitely.
I'd like to be in a situation where I didn't have to worry. Like, the fact that my electric bill's nearly doubling won't stress me out as much as it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, things like that. I would like to just have enough money to be comfortable, but I wouldn't want... I don't agree with it anyway, morally. But, I just think it brings a lot of stress.
Yeah. You're still going to donate to my Just Give It, though, aren't you, tight care? Fucking hell.
I will do it. I'm going to do it now.
Right.
But yeah, it hasn't got to be your yacht. Maybe one of your mates from your podcast.
Yeah, Pip's never going to buy a yacht, is he?
No.
That'd involve fun.
And what else was I going to ask you? What's your favourite podcast that you do? The cunt one. You can say it. Chris won't care.
Like, do you know what? I have so much fun doing Hardcore Listening with Chris at the moment. Like, we can just press record now and we don't need any prep. And we just have a laugh. And we're so lucky, that we've got this Patreon gang that's, 40, 50 people that meet up now, that they're all, all got their own friendship circle now. They all meet up and go on this massive... They call themselves the MSC, the Murdering Sex Cult, because, obviously Chris was this, a gang of dangerous loners, and they've upgraded. They've now got their own MSC merch. And
seriously?
They've had photo shoots together with Luke Van... Luke's done them a photo shoot. They go to comedy nights. They're all going to a music festival together. It's beautiful.
We've
literally got a gang that all now meet up, and there's some really beautiful stories within that, which I won't say, but some really lovely things have come of that. And it's amazing that me and that knobhead talking drivel has made that possible.
How long have you been doing it for now?
5 years today.
Anniversary. Mine was 2 years yesterday.
Oh, really? Oh, congratulations. What? Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about me at the moment, not you.
You're going for a romantic dinner?
Me and Chris got up this morning. We got up. We made love. Then we had some Cocoa Pops. And then I massaged his broken collarbone.
Is he all right?
Sent him on his way. He's fine. No, he's not fine. His collarbone's in bits. But yeah, I'll see him Saturday night, and he seemed all right. That's what happens when you try and be rad and cool and go snowboarding.
It's very dangerous, all that stuff.
I know. But yeah, I do really enjoy the Cunt and the Gang one. But I really am obsessed with mixed martial arts, and I've got a podcast
with
Blake
one.
Harrison, and I really like that.
Yeah.
I like them all. Spoiler, it's not really but I've got something that's going to be happening with Pip, and we've recorded three, and that's coming soon, and that's definitely the podcast I've done the most prep on ever. And it's really good, and people that like Scroobius Pip are going to love it.
Can you talk
people
about
that, it? I better not. I don't really know.
Fine.
Just in case, I don't. But it's me chatting to Pip a lot about Pip. But it's really good. It's like the three that we've recorded. I remember when they finished thinking, that's pretty good. I look forward to seeing what comes of that. And it's a nice insight into Pippi Kins.
How often does the MMA one come out? Is that once a week?
Sometimes twice a week. But generally once a week.
So are you recording it every day? You're recording something every day?
Yeah, I've got one in 10 minutes. That's for Pod Bible. That's got a podcast. I always forget that one. I've got another one as well. and I've done the 80s one last night, and then I've got an off the beaten track at 5 o'clock. Obviously with this one, there'll be three today. I talk a lot, Aim.
You do, but that's nice. It's nice to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. You're easy to chat to, Aim, as well.
Thanks.
It's always nice when we have occasional phone calls. It's always I always put it down. I just think, oh, fucking hell, it was an hour. Like, I don't know how much you speak. I'll just go.
No, but I like listening. That's why I like doing this. I like talking to people and finding out.
Are you listening in two ears or are you still deaf in one ear?
No, I'm still deaf in one ear. But then it's... Yeah. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I only listen in one ear anyway. Because otherwise
am I as good in mono? You listen to Amy's podcast. Yeah, why's she share? Oh, it's headphones.
When I edit it, I'm just like, fucking, why am I so loud? And then I think, oh, yeah, it's because I've got headphones on. I've been doing it for 2 years.
Oh, you love it. That's brilliant.
But I just don't, I just don't think about it. But then I think, I've got to start taking an ear off because then obviously it's.
Yeah, it's less aggressive. Fucking hell, what's upset her on her podcast? She's fucking shouted at me for an hour.
Oh, dear. But yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, that was lovely. Oh, it's nice to see you.
It's lovely. It's always lovely to chat to you, Aim. And I literally realised that I've just bombarded you with me banging on about myself. And
but that's what this is about.
I guess so. But yeah, thanks, Aim. It's really
it's
nice.
It's all right. It's my turn on Saturday. I have actually researched mine for Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a really surprised response, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah. Not for very long, but just I thought I don't really know what I'm talking about, and I should really do some research. I mean, I know obviously that is a massive thing for your podcast, is no one really knows what they're talking about, but
you know,
I thought I'd make an effort.
Oh, thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. All right, well, thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing
absolute
you
pleasure.
On Saturday.
Yes. I'm going to press stop.
Press stop. Hi. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Love Stu. Check out his million podcasts because he is amazing. Check out me on Hardcore Listing. I've been on there a couple of times, actually. 3 times, in fact. Because they love me. and I love them. And there's a new episode of the Epic Mum Chat out. So go on YouTube and search Epic Mum Chat. We've got a fair few episodes now. They are fun. We do have a laugh. And yeah, if you've got any guest suggestions, please let me know. Big love, stay safe, stay sane, stay dry. I mean, it's going to piss down all week, isn't it? Mind you, it was supposed to snow. Well, it did snow, but only for a minute. But it's supposed to have rained all day today, but I'm currently looking at the glorious sunshine. So fingers crossed, it won't rain, and all will be well. Big love to you. Stay safe and sane, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.